The Yeshiva Gedol of Johannesburg proudly presents the Wednesday evening shiur, covering the Parashas HaShavua, the Yomim Tovim, and other special topics as delivered by its founder and Rosh HaYeshiva, Rabbi Israel Chaim Goldfein, Zichrono Livrocha. Details regarding how to order additional shiurim follow immediately after the conclusion of the shiur.
It's written in the Torah, in a number of places. One place in Yisro, Parshas Yisro, by the Aseres HaDibros, the Ten Commandments, Perchov Pasuk Beis, the first Dibor, the first command, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hotzei Sicho Me'eretz Mitzrayim Beis Avodim. I am the Lord your God who has taken you out of Egypt, the house of slavery. Another similar Pasuk is at the end of the Parshas of Tzitzis, which is found at the end of Shlach, Bamidbar Tes Vov, Pasuk Mem Alef, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, Asher Hotzeisi Eschem Eretz Mitzrayim, Liyeis Lochem Leilokim. I am the Lord your God, who has taken you out of Egypt, the land of Egypt, in order to be for you a God. Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am the Lord your God. In a number of places we find that Hashem expresses that he is our God and he has taken us out of Egypt in order to be our God. And this implies not only is he the God who has taken us out of Egypt, but that he has taken us out of Egypt in order to be your God. That both of these principles are contrary to each other. The fact that the Almighty is our God, and the essence of Egypt, the essence of the yeshiva b'Mitzrayim, when we dwelled in Egypt. This is something which needs some explanation. A second point. There are a number of psukim when the Torah prepares us for going out of Egypt in Parshas Bo. For example, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, the Kocha Teichlu Eisai, this is how you shall eat the Korban Pesach, the sacrifice, and the matzah, Mosnechem Chagurim Nalechem Baraglechem, you shall have your loins girded, in other words, like a person who's ready to go out, you shall have your boots on your feet, Umakelchem b'yedchem, your walking stick in your hands. Bachalte meisei b'chipozen, and you shall eat this with a hurriedness. Pesach hu l'Hashem, it is the Pesach, the sacrifice of the Pesach to Hashem. Rashi brings, this means loshen b'holo u'mehirus. It should be eaten with a great speed and a hurriedness. And then we have, a little further, in Pasuk Lamedtes, Vayofu esabote kasher heitziu mimitzrayim ugeis matzeis. When Israel went out of Egypt, they baked the dough which they made, and they baked it into matzeis, kilei chometz, because it did not have a chance to rise, ki goshu mimitzrayim, because they were chased out of Egypt, leyochlu lismamea, and they couldn't wait for it to rise. When you bake matzah or you bake bread, so you take the flour, water, you knead it together, and then you leave it wait. And as it waits, it rises. They could not do this, so they had to bake it immediately. They could not tarry, because they went out in a great hurriedness. They were chased out. Another case, a little further, it states that the children of Israel dwelled in Egypt for 400 years. This calculation of 400 years goes all the way back to the birth of Yitzchok, of Isaac. And the sages explain why. But they had to be for 400 years, because this is the decree that Hashem told Abraham, that your seed will be 400 years. ger alien in a land which is not theirs. But it states, Vayimi Kate Shleshim Shona Varbo Meir Shona, at the end of 430 years, Vayiba Etzimayim Azer, and on this exact day, Yotsu called Tzivei Hashem Eretz Mitzrayim. Then the whole congregations of Hashem were taken out of Egypt. Rashi explains, what does it mean, Be'etzim, on this very day? So Rashi tells us, Magid shekivun shegiah haketz, once the time came, le'ikvan hamokum kehervayin. The Almighty didn't wait a split second, the time it takes to blink an eye. It was in the 15th of Nisan that the angels came to tell Avraham that a son will be born to him. And it was the 15th of Nisan the following year that Yitzchok was born. It was also on the 15th of Nisan that Hashem gave the decree to Avraham that your children will be enslaved. And it was on this day, but exactly, and once the time came, Hashem did not wait a split second, the blinking of an eye, to take us out. And then finally it states, in the beginning of Parshas Bishalach, and Posuk, Shmoshu Dalet Posuk Ches, by Chazek Hashem as Lev Pare Melech Mitzrayim by Yirdev Acharei Bnei Yisrael. After they had gone out, Pare, the king of Egypt, chased Yisrael. They were then coming to the sea. Uvnei Yisrael Yotzi Biyod Romo, and the children of Israel went out Biyod Romo. What does that mean? Rashi tells us, Bigvura Gevoa Umefosemesh, with great power and strength and great openness. So we see from these psukim that we cited that the Yitzias Mitzrayim, the Exodus, and everything related to it took place with a rapidness, with a hurriedness. There was no time to tarry, to wait. And that's how that Korban Pesach, that sacrifice, was also eaten, with a hurriedness. Now this is something else that needs explanation. And then thirdly, the very essence of matzah represents something which is done very hurriedly. The Torah tells us again in Parshas Bo, Perek Yud Beis Posuk Yud Zayin, Ushmartem es ha-matzos, you shall guard the matzos. Because it was on this very day that Hashem took all of the congregations of Israel out of Egypt. What does it mean, Ushmartem esa matzis? You shall guard the matzis. Rashi brings, Shele yavoli de chimutz. You must guard it carefully that it does not rise. This means don't allow it to rise, but bake it immediately. Mikan omru. From here we say that tipach taltish b'tzeinon, that if you see it rise, then you must cool it off immediately. Throw it into cold water, which will stop the leavening. But bake it immediately in order that it should not rise. So the whole essence of matzah is something that should be done quickly. All of this requires an explanation and a little deeper meaning. Now, when we come to the quality of doing something with a great strength, bigvura, doing something with a great zrizus and zeal, with great enthusiasm, and with speed. And mitzvahs, the Gemara tells us, are supposed to be done with zrizus, in this type of way. We must realize that if we have two people who are doing mitzvahs, two people who are studying Torah, two people who are serving Hashem, and one does it with a great zrizus, a great enthusiasm, and a great keach, a great strength and zeal, and the other does it without all of this, he is very sluggish and slow, he does it with very sleepily, and so forth. So generally, we would say that they're both doing the same mitzvah. They're both studying the same Torah. They're both doing the same chesed with stokah. Except one is fulfilling the mitzvah with zrizus, and the other is not. This is not true. But actually, these are two different dimensions in serving Hashem. And the Maral proves this point from a Gemara in Masechet Nozia. Mora brings, and I've called Dalet Amud Beis. Speaking about the daughters of Lot. When Sodom and Amorah were destroyed, Lot and his daughters fled to the mountains, and there they stayed in a cave. And the daughters thought that the whole world was destroyed. Therefore, they decided that they should have a union with their father in order to bring people to re-inhabit the world. The Gemara brings that they were miskaven l'shem mitzvah. Their intentions were good. And therefore they received reward for this. The Gemara says, it's actually not in Chof Dalet, on Chof Gimel. Daf Chof Gimel. Yeah, Chof Gimel, Seif Amud Beis. So the Gemara says, Omer b'chia bar amin, omer b'shul ben kocho. L'aylam yadim odom lidvar mitzvah. When it comes to doing a mitzvah, a person, once the time has come when one can do this mitzvah, then one should do it as soon as possible, as early as possible. He should not delay it. He should not procrastinate. And it'll be a different type of mitzvah. Because this we can learn from the daughters of Lot. Shebeschar laila acha shekod maso bechira letziiro. Because the older daughter, she did this mitzvah first. First night she went to her father. It was only the second night that the younger daughter went. And we see that the first one, she received a reward where her children eventually came into Yisrael. Zochs of a Kodma Arba Deiris be Yisrael. 4 generations before the children of the second one. Because from the older daughter, the offspring from this union was called Moab. And eventually, Ruth came from Moab, Ruth and Moabi. And Ruth converted and became a Jewess. And her son was Oved, and Oved's son was Yishai. David was the son of Yishai, and Shlomo was David's son. So there were 4 generations of children in Israel from Ruth, from Oved, her son, until Shlomo. The second daughter, her offspring, was known as Ammon. And in later generations, we find that there was a person by the name of Rehovam who was born to Nooma HaAmonis, someone from the younger daughter, and this person was born because Shlomo HaMelech, King Solomon, married her, Nooma HaAmonis. So the first child that she had that came into Israel was one of Shlomo's sons, one of King Solomon's sons. So Ruth had a child that came into Israel four generations. And this is the offspring of the older daughter, then the younger daughter's offsprings. Why? Because the first one fulfilled the mitzvah with a great zrizus. She didn't procrastinate. While the second one waited. So the Gemara says, from here we can learn something very important. That when it comes to do a mitzvah, Omer Reb Chiya bar Abin, Omer Reb Yishuv ben Kocho, Leilam yad dimodim ledvar mitzvah. Do it quickly. Do it with enthusiasm. Don't wait. Don't procrastinate. Don't sleep on it too long. Shebeschar laila achas shekod masabechir letziira. Because the older daughter went to her father only one night before the younger daughter. But zoch savakod ma'arbe deiris b'Yisrael. But her seed became part of Israel a full four generations before the seed of the second daughter. And the Maral brings out that four generations has a significance. This is not just a matter of time, but this is a different dimension altogether. So therefore, when one fills a mitzvah with a great power and force, and the other fulfills the same mitzvah, but he does it sluggishly, and without this, it's not that they both fulfill the same mitzvahs, except one is doing it with Jesus and one is doing it not with Jesus. No, they become two different mitzvahs and two different dimensions. Now, why is this? There's a great depth in this, and that is Kodesh Baruch Hu, the Almighty, he created two worlds. He created one world which is known as Olam HaTachton, the lower world, and one which is known as Olam HaElyon, the higher world. The lower world is the Olam HaGashmi, the physical world. The higher world is Abilti Gashmi, the spiritual world. This is what we always refer to as this world is Chemer, the other world is Surah. Or, this transplants itself in man. Man has two worlds in him. He has guf, he has physical body, physical mass, and neshama. And he has a soul, a spirit, a nefesh. And this is what is written in the Torah, in Bereishis Beis, Vayitzar Hashem Eso Odom Mino Ofor, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from dirt, from the dust of, from the earth, Vayipach Ba'apov Nishmas Chaim, and he blew into his nostrils a living soul. He made from man, or he made man from two worlds. From a lower world, which was Ofer Min Adoma, the earth, and Nishmas Chaim, and he gave him a spirit of his own from on high, and this was man. Each of these worlds, if they are looked at totally independently, then they are contrary to each other. Because one is physical and one is spiritual. One is governed by physical nature, teva, and the other is not governed by physical nature. Now, man, he has to live on this world. Can't live in the higher world. beings, because that's a world that's not made for physical beings, that's made for malachim, for angels. Man is physical, so therefore he must live in this world. But at the same time, he also has to live on the higher world. And he has to break the chains and the shackles which tie him to this world in order that he can be on this world but also live in the higher worlds. And this is why we find that the sages tell us that it states HaKadosh Baruch Hu created kibitz with the yud and the hey tzurei lomim. Hashem created olomim. He didn't create one world, he created two worlds. And he created the two worlds with two letters of his name, with the yud of his name and the hey. With the yud he created olam haba, spiritual world, and with the hey he created olam hazeh, the physical world. Why with these letters specifically? These are two letters from his name. The yud is a letter which is just a nakuda. It's just a dot. It has no dimension to it. So this represents something which is beyond or free of all dimension. In other words, a bilti gashmi, something which is not physical, because everything that is physical has dimensions. And therefore, with this he created the spiritual world, something which is totally nivdal, beyond all dimensions, physical dimensions. This world, though, the physical world, he created with a hay. Why a hay? A hay is made up of two letters, a dalet and then a yud. See, a hay is a dalet, and then at its foot, at the opposite foot, is a little yud. The dalet, that represents physical dimensions, because the dalet is made up of two lines, a vertical and a horizontal. And anything that's physical, as we said, has dimensions. Therefore, he created this world with a dalet. So why a hey? He placed the yud also in that letter. That's the dalet with the yud. Because he did not want this world to be merely physical, but to the contrary, he wanted it to be physical, but at the same time bound and tied to the spiritual world. So the upper world, that was with the yud, that's all spiritual. Physical world is with a dalet, which represents physical mass, but at the same time also with a yud. The dalet and the yud makes up the hay, because he wanted to tie the physical world also to the spiritual world. And this is the same thing with man. Man has both worlds in him, in himself. Ofer min adoma, his body was from the earth, and his soul and his nefesh came from Hashem. Now, each part of man comes from its particular source. This means that all of the physical powers of man come from the earth, while the spiritual powers of man, that comes from the upper worlds, from the soul which Hashem placed in him. Therefore, when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Avedas Hashem, when it comes to the fulfillment of mitzvahs, when it comes to the study of Torah, so all of these powers come from the source, not from the earth, but from the spirit that Hashem placed in man, that came from the upper worlds. Now let's go to these qualities. These qualities of Zrizus and Atzlus. We find these two contrary qualities in man. There's the spark of enthusiasm, of speed, of doing something with great zeal and force. And then there is also the nature of man in which he does not want to do things. He'd rather not do something which is difficult than to do something which is difficult. He'd rather be sheva al tase. He'd rather sit and not do than be a kumba ase, than stand up and do. He'd rather rest than move. He'd rather sit than stand. He'd rather walk than run. Doesn't take energy to sit or to be in one place, but to move takes great energy. There's a tiredness in man, a slowness in man, a sluggishness, a heaviness, a fatigue. All of the powers of Atzlus. This does not come from the spirit of man, but rather this comes from the earth. Because if we look at the earth itself, that is the nature of the earth. The earth itself likes to stay in one place, doesn't like to run, doesn't like to stand, doesn't like to move, doesn't like to move with a force and with an energy. To the contrary, the earth would never move at all if no other force moved it. The earth is a recipient of energy, but does not generate its own energy. The earth is a recipient of life, but does not generate its own life. So therefore, all of these powers or qualities that we find, this nature that we find in man, which is this the antithesis of energy, the antithesis of moving worlds, the antithesis of life, this is the earth in man. And that's why the body, physical body, constantly demands menucha, anocha, wants to rest. Leave me alone. Let me be in one place. Don't bother me so much. Because he comes from the earth. And this is the very nature of the earth. On the other hand, the quality to do something, again, not to be done with, but to generate something, to generate life, to move with an enthusiasm and with a force and a zeal, then that is not coming from the physical component of man, because the earth does not possess any of these qualities. That's coming from the spiritual component of man. Nishmas Chaim, it states, HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man from the earth, and he blew into his nostrils a Nishmas Chaim, a soul that was the essence of life. That is what generates energy. That's what generates power. That's what generates life. But not the earth. The proof of the pudding is because man is always constantly moving. Man never stops for an instant. Not when he's awake and not when he's asleep. Even when he's asleep, there are literally millions of things moving around in man's body. His mind, heart, billions of cells. Lots is going on. But what once he dies, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes back his nishmas chayim, his living soul, the man is still. Nothing moves. The only way man will move is something will move it. But he is moved. He is still. Because he is left only with the qualities of the ofer min adoma, of the earth in him. So therefore, the spirit, the life in man, that comes from the Vayipach Bapov Nishmaskayim, where Hashem put into man from the upper worlds. While the great tendency for the body, for man, not to do anything, this is his nature from the earth. Therefore, when it comes to serving Hashem, Avodas Hashem, the doing of mitzvahs, the study of Torah, here we are seeking a level not of the physical world, but of the spiritual world, then this has to be with a great Jesus. It has to be with a great spirit. It has to be with life. Because the essence of serving Hashem is removing oneself from the levels of the earth and seeking spiritual heights. So the essence is that of a living person. And also, he has to break the nature of man in order to get up and do and to live and not to sleep. Because man has this dual nature in himself. The earth of man tells him, sleep, lay down. And in soul and nefesh in man says to live, and each seeks its source. And the earth of man wants to go back to the earth. The nefesh, the neshama of man, wants to go to Hashem, where he came from, where she came from. And when we serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we are seeking Hashem, not the earth. So how can you serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu by serving Hashem sleepily, by serving Hashem with a sluggishness, with a slowness, with a fatigue and tiredness? We're going in the opposite directions. And therefore, when it comes to serving Hashem, this has to be with a mighty force in Zrizus. Because firstly, we are seeking another world. And then to break away from the nature of the human body, which has the forces and the nature of the earth in him. Therefore, a mitzvah that is done with a great Zrizus, and the same mitzvah which is not done with this Zrizus, it's not the same mitzvah. It's a different thing altogether. With this becomes clarified to us a number of teachings in the Chazal. One is in Masechta Avos Perakei Mishnachot. It's a very well known Mishnah. We spoke about it a number of times. Yehuda ben Tema Omer. Yehuda ben Tema said, he's teaching us how we should serve Hashem. Have he asked in Omer, when it comes to serving Hashem, last week we gave a shiur that a person should not be an asponim. Azus Azus is the quality of chutzpah, brazenness, aggressiveness. It's not a nice quality to be aggressive, to be too imposing, to be too domineering. But Yehuda ben Tema says that when it comes between you and Hashem, you have to be aggressive. You should have the aggressiveness of the leopard. The leopard is known as the most aggressive and the most courageous of all of the animals. When it comes to serving Hashem, that's not the place to back off. You have to charge forward. Kal Kinesha. You have to be able to ascend to great heights like the eagle. There is no creature that flies as high as the eagle. Now all of this, the Maral explains, is all contrary to the nature of physical man, to the nature of earth. The earth is not aggressive. Man's physical nature tells him, sit down and forget about it. Don't charge forward. The earth doesn't ascend. You throw something up in the air and it'll fall right down. So when something ascends high, you are breaking that nature. And the illustration of that is the eagle. Rotz Katzvi. You have to be as quick as a deer. The person runs, again, he is contrary to his own nature, to the physical nature of man. The Gibor Kahari, and the strength of a lion. When? When it comes to fulfill the rotzain, the will of your Father in heaven. Not in other times. No. Other times a person has to take it easy. If you're going out to make money and you say that you must make money at all costs, well then you can build an empire by destroying other people. You can build an empire by becoming a great ganav, a great thief, a gangster, or so forth and so on. And these qualities are not always good qualities. But when it comes to serving Hashem, which is something totally, totally contrary to the person's nature, because he comes from the earth, and when we're serving Hashem, we're going up far away from the earth. So then he's going to have to call upon all of his capabilities to break free from the forces, from the earthly forces of man. And that's why he says, "Lasis v'tzino v'icho shebishomayim," when it comes to serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu between you and Hashem. Immediately afterwards, he says, "Hu ya'imer asponim le'gehenim." If a person is like this all the time, now, then he's Gehenim. Right? But when it comes to serving Hashem, this is how a person has to be, because everything will stand in his way. Because here we're reaching for Hashem, which is a world which is way above us. And we are created from the physical world. And the physical world and the spiritual world are totally contrary to each other. They're the antithesis one to the other. So you won't get there unless you call upon all of your forces and qualities to free yourself from these earthly powers. Otherwise, there'll be a million reasons why you should not do mitzvahs, why you should not do this, why you should not study Torah, why you should not serve Hashem. Another statement in the Chazal. We had in Parshas Vayakel, this is something also we've spoken about a number of times. In Parshas Vayakel, it states that the Mishkan was to be built, the sanctuary, and Moshe asked from the people contributions of what was needed. And the Nesim, These were the princes, the leaders of each tribe. They brought last. In Vayakel, Perek Lamed Vov, Lamed Hei, Posachov Zayim, Bahanesim Heviu, in the end, the princes of each tribe brought the Avnei HaShoham, Beis Avnei HaMiluim, La'efet V'Lachoshen, they brought the precious stones for the gown of the Kohen Godel and for the breastplate. The question is asked, is why did they bring last, and why did they only bring these things? And Rashi brings, Omer Reb Noson, because they said, let everyone bring what is needed first. And then in the end, we will contribute whatever is lacking. And in the end, nothing was lacking except these things. Therefore, they brought last. Now, the word Nesi'im is supposed to be spelled Nun, Sin, Yud, Aleph. Here in the Torah, it's spelled Nun, Sin, Aleph. The Yud is missing. And the Medrash says, Rashi brings, Lefishen is Atzlu, Bitchilo, because they were too slow, because they were too sluggish. They should have been in the front. They're the leaders. They shouldn't have said, let the people do what they'll do, and then we will follow. No. A leader doesn't say that. Unfortunately, that's what a leader says in democracy. Takes a poll and sees, well, which way is the wind blowing? And that's the way we'll go. But not a leader by Israel. They should not have said, let the people give and we will follow. We will give first so they can follow us. We will set the example. We will be the role models. Leader means to be first where no one was before. But that's not easy to do. That's really going against the current. That's the quality of a melech. Says a melech is Peres Geder, one of our first fathers of kings, was Yehuda's son Peretz. And Peretz was called Peretz because Poratzto, he broke out of the womb first. And when they saw that, they said he should be called Peretz, and from him will come kings. That's the quality of a king. A king goes where no one went before. If he's merely going where others were, then he's not a king, he's a follower. The king is the Reish Ba'am, the first one. He has to set the example that others should follow. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore was not happy with the Nesi'im. And this is a demands great force, because this is entirely against the nature of man. Man doesn't even like to follow. Certainly doesn't like to lead. Because the nature of physical man is to sit still, like the earth. So therefore, it states, Lefisha nis'atzlu, because they were nis'atzlu. Atzlus means sluggishness, slowness, lack of ambition. Nechsra eis mishmom. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took a letter out of their name. And what letter did he take out of their name? The Yud. Because the Yud, that represents the essence of the life in the person. That represents the living worlds. The earth has no life. Life must be put into the earth. And they acted as the earth, not as the Nishmas Chaim. Therefore, Lefishen is Atzlu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the Yud out of their name. Then there's another Gemara. The Gemara tells us in Masechta Brachos, and Avov Amud Beis, the Gemara says, Omer Reb Chalbei, Omer Reb Huna, Hayetzi Mibeis HaKnesis, when someone goes away from shul after davening, al yafsir psir gaso, he should not run. Yafsir psir gaso means taking unusually large steps when someone who is in a big hurry, he shouldn't run. Omer Abaye le amrun el lemeipak. So Abaye says this is only when you're leaving shul. Av lemeiau, but if you're going to shul, mitzvah l'maharita. Not only are you permitted to run, to hurry, but it's a mitzvah. Because, as it states in the Novi, nirdefu l'adasas Hashem. The Novi Hosea said, nirdefu, one should run to know Hashem. Omer Rebzira, Rebzira said, Meresh ki havechazinan lehul rabonin lekorihita lepirku b'shabbato. On Shabbos, it is a great mitzvah to be Deirish Teir Barabi. So this that we have Shu'urim on Shabbos. This is an old custom. There was an old custom that there would be public Shu'urim on Shabbos. So Reb Zeri says that when I used to see the Rabbon and the Talmidim, they were running to the Shir on Shabbos, Aminu Komechalin Rabbon and Shabbato. I would say that they're disgracing and desecrating Shabbos, because it states on Shabbos one is not supposed to run. One is supposed to walk with Menucha. Kiven de Shamina Loha de Reb Tanchu Mamar Reb Yishuv ben Levi. But once I heard this from Reb Yishuv ben Levi, La'elam Yorutz Odom Lidvar Halocha, Lidvar Mitzvah, that when it comes to a mitzvah, then not only is one permitted to run, but it's even a mitzvah to run. Ba'afilu b'Shabbos, even b'Shabbos, as it states, Acharei Hashem Yelchu Ke'ari Yishag, because a person should go after Hashem like a lion goes after his prey. So now I also run to the Shir on Shabbos. Now what is the Gemara speaking about? So the Maral explains it in this fashion. He says, we live in both worlds, the physical and in the spiritual. When we are fulfilling the tasks of this world, then we have to follow the rules of this world. See? So therefore, person should not run. That's why when you leave shul, you shouldn't run. You have to follow the order of this world. But when we come to fulfill the mitzvahs of Hashem, there we have to step a little out of this world. We're on this world, but we have to reach higher. And the only way we'll be able to reach higher is with a great power and a great force near the fall of Dasas Hashem. If a person feels that he wants to forcefully run in order to know Hashem, otherwise he will not come to it. So therefore, it's a mitzvah that one should run when he's going to David in Shul, or when he's going to a Shir. And even on Shabbos, when the whole world slows up, and it's a day of rest for Jews, but that's all in the physical level. Spirit never rests. He writes, that's why the Gemara says that Gemara says in Perek Omer Rabbi Kiva that Torah was given on the sixth day of Sivan, which was Shabbos. Because Shabbos is a day of rest at the physical level. But the spirit doesn't rest. The spirit is constantly moving and yearning for more and more. So therefore, even on Shabbos, when one rests, if he's going to the Pirko, to the Shir, then it's a mitzvah to run. Now, Egypt, Mitzrayim, the sages tell us, was the essence of this world. In Parshas Lech Lecha, Posuk Yud, Perek Yud Dalet Posuk Yud, it states when Lot was separating himself from Abraham, and he looked to see where he should go, he saw, Vayisa Lot Eseinot, he lifted his eyes, Vayar es kol kikar ayadein, and he saw the whole valley of the Jordan, it was a beautiful, well-watered valley. before the destruction of Sodom and Amorah, Kegan Hashem Keretz Mitzrayim. It was like the garden of Hashem, like Eretz Mitzrayim. Egypt was the most fertile place at that time in the world. And it was a wealthy world. And it was the epitome of this world. And the Egyptians, with that land, fulfilled all of their physical desires to the point of abominations. As the Chazal tell us, they had their gold, they had their silver, they had their sorcery, and they had their zimo, their abominations. Like the Torah many times tells us, Kimase Eretz Mitzrayim, the acts and abominations of Eretz Mitzrayim you shall not do. This means that they fell deeper and deeper into this world, into the earthly world. And they almost totally severed their ties with the higher worlds, to the point where they became entirely smothered by their world and enslaved to their world. And that's why the prophet says that the Egyptians were Dema, they were similar. Zera ki zera susim, besorim ki besar chamorim. They were similar to that of donkeys and horses, because this is the essence of an animal. An animal lives on this world, not in the next world. Unlike man, who lives in both worlds. And this brought them to the depths of the physical nature. And this brought them to the depths of where they became slaves to themselves, to their own natures, and to the earth that they were created from. And the word Mitzrayim comes from the word Meitzar. Meitzar means narrows, straits. They became pinned in from their land itself. And there, by the Egyptians, so the Atzlus, this teva, this nature of heaviness, this nature of slowness, domineered them. And this is what they wanted to do with Israel when they were Meshabed Israel, when they enslaved Israel. And that's why Israel were known there as Avodim La'Avodim. We were slaves to those who in essence were slaves. And this whole picture, this whole scenario, is the antithesis of Avedas Hashem, of serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The total antithesis, as we explained. That's why, whenever HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anechi Hashem Elokecha, I am the Lord your God, he tells us, Asher Hetzeicha Me'eretz Mitzrayim, who has taken you out of Egypt. Ani Hashem Elokecha, Asher Hetzeicha Eschem Me'eretz Mitzrayim, Li'ayis Lachem Le'elokim. I am the Lord your God, who took you out of Egypt in order that you could, in order that I can become your king. Both cannot exist. You want to serve Hashem? You can't serve from Egypt. You want to be in Egypt? You can't. I cannot be your king. But you have to free yourself from Egypt and from all that it stood for. And therefore, when it came to the Geula, to the redemption, we're not referring here only to a political redemption. This was the redemption of Israel from Egypt. This is the redemption of the nefesh and the neshama from the guf, the living soul from the body of man. You want to serve me, you have to be free. You want to be free, not only do you have to free yourself from Egypt, you also have to free yourself from yourselves. You have to give a shichru to the nefesh, because the nefesh what I have given into your body can become a slave to you and can become smothered. And then you cannot serve me, because you have to serve me with the nefesh. You have to serve me with your soul and with your life, not with the earthly qualities that are, not with only the earthly qualities which are in you. And this was the Gula. Actually, the Torah was Maramnes. The Torah gave us a little clue to this beforehand, because the women of Egypt, they had great life in them. They had great spirit. It states that the men were becoming totally fatigued. They were becoming totally without ambition. The slavery was breaking them. And they were tired. It states because of the spirit of the women, they inspired. And it was through the women that they gave birth to myriads of children, because they were a living spirit. And it states, "Bishkus anoshim atzidkonias nigalu Yisrael mimitzrayim." It was in their skus that the redemption came. And when Parai, he was told by his astrologers that there'll be a redeemer, a person that the world never knew, that will break Egypt, Moshe Rabbeinu. At all costs, he wanted to destroy him. And he wanted to destroy the population growth of Israel. So he decreed that women, the midwives, must put to death the children when they're born, the male children. And the Jewish women defied him at the cost of losing their lives. They defied him. They stood up against him. And they said, when he investigated, "Why aren't you doing this?" So he said, "Because lei kenoshim amitzris, or noshim oivios." The Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women. Egyptian women take a long time to give birth. So therefore, the midwife has time to see if it's a male, a female, and can kill the child. But the Hebrew women are kechoyes heino. And terem tovei hamyaledes, and before the midwife even arrives, they've given birth. What does it mean, kechoyes heino? So the Medrash says, they are like the wildlife of the field. The Egyptians are like the behemoths, the farm animals. Farm animals are very earthly and very heavy and slow in giving birth with great difficulty, and the shepherd and the farmer has to assist them. But the Hebrew women are like kachayos, they're like the wildlife, that they give quickly. They don't need a midwife. And that's why the children, by the time we come there, they're already born. Now this was already an intimation by the Torah of what the spirit of Yisrael was. That they lacked that earthliness, and they were freeing themselves from it. And this Geula, this redemption of Yisrael from Egypt, went to the Red Sea. It went beyond the sea, where they rose above the sea, and it went to Har Sinai to receive the Torah, where the Chazal say that Chorus al Aluches, it states that the Torah was engraven on the tablets. The word Chorus are the same letters as the word Cherus. Because why did Israel come to Torah? Because of Cherus, because they came to freedom. Freedom and Torah is synonymous. Because when you're not free, when you're in Egypt,
When you're captivated by the earthly body, how can you come to Torah? When Torah is the highest sphere. You want to come to Torah, you have to be a free man. Mikan, from here we learn, She'ein lecho ben chedin elamisha esik betorah. True freedom, that comes only when the spirit frees itself from the earth, and that is when one comes to the level of Torah. And now finally, this explains to us why everything was done in Egypt with a great force, with a great hurriedness. They ate the Pesach with a great hurriedness. They didn't have time to wait for the matzah, for the bread to rise. They didn't, HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't wait the blink of an eye when it came time to take them out once the decree was over. Because when you are coming out of an Egypt and you're going to serve Hashem, Yod Ramor, that has to be done with an enormous force, because you are breaking barriers. You're breaking sound barriers. You're breaking light barriers. And this is a mitzvah, especially on Pesach, because this represented the Geula Rishena. This represented our first redemption of coming from Egypt in order to serve Hashem. And this is the essence of matzah. Because matzah is something which must be baked immediately. It must be made quickly. Matzah is free of the element of time. You have flour, you have water, you knead it. Now if you put in it the element of time, then you'll have leavening, you'll have bread. If you exclude the element of time and you bake it immediately, it'll be matzah. Ushmartem es ha-matzahs, guard the matzahs quickly, because matzah is the celebration of what took place. And time is part and parcel with the physical world, not with the spiritual world. Because time is the calculation of the moving of the celestial bodies. The sun, the moon, it's all part of the physical world. And time, even if we would calculate the moving of salt, time always is a calculation of moving one thing to another, one place to another place. Or if you calculate the heartbeat, time is always the calculation of moving something. And that's all physical. Beyond the physical world, there is not this essence of time. For example, if the sun and all the celestial beings would stop, we would not have the calculation of time. And Pesach was the time when one rose from this world to Anechi Hashem Elokecha, where I can be your God. And this we celebrate with matzah. And Rashi finally brings, he says, Omar Rabbi Yeshua, Al tikrei matzah is ela mitzvahs. This is not only with matzahs, but this is with all mitzvahs. Mikan mitzvah boli yodei. Therefore, when a mitzvah comes to your hands, al tach mitzeno, do not let it become chometz. Dekaima miyad, fulfill it immediately. When you're fulfilling something which is confined to this world, then we must act accordingly, in accordance to the laws of this world. But when we're fulfilling something which is beyond this world, then it must be done with a great speed and a great zrizus and a great zeal. Otherwise, it's going to become chometz, just like matzah becomes chometz. And the matzah and Pesach represents our first geula, our first freedom. But this is what, how we must always serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Anechi Hashem Elokecha. I am the Lord your God, because I took you out of Egypt. When you're in Egypt, I cannot be your God. You have to free yourself first, and then I can be your God. I can be your king only if you can ascend to the level of free men. Tragically, in today's world, we see just the opposite. We live in a world today where we're slowly witnessing people who are destroying each other and destroying themselves. They destroy each other with wars. They destroy each other with crime. They destroy the environment of the world. The seas, the air, the forests, whatever there is. They destroy themselves. They destroy themselves with diseases. They destroy themselves with AIDS. We are seeing the consistent destruction of man and his world, but not by other forces, by man himself, because it's Mitzrayim. It's another Egypt where they have been smothered by this world, and they cannot free themselves, so they will not free themselves from this world to ascend to higher levels. This creates all the more responsibility on the Jew, how he has to lead his life. And this is what we learn from Pesach, the Chag Heruseinu. We should all be zeche to have a Chag Kosher v'Sameach, and we should see a Geula Shleima, a true redemption, come to Israel and the world.
The Yeshiva Gedola hopes that you have learned much from the presentation. For further information or to order additional shiurim, please contact the Yeshiva Gedola of Johannesburg. Visit us on the web at www.ygj.co.za or contact us via email at audio@ygj.co.za. Via phone at 011-648-7906, via fax at 011-648-0085, and via post at PO Box 66226, Broadway 2020, Johannesburg, South Africa.